Yeah. Happy fucking happy hour. Look at me in my goddamn 60s. Look at this, my 60s anti-war rock and roll shit. My friend Stephen Stills, the man, the myth, the legend, is here with us. Hi, Stephen.
So why don't you just pull out your fucking time machine?
Titties? Oh, I'm sorry. What?
You have the peace symbol in the dark in the 60s and...
Yeah, let's do it. Can I just tell you little fucking stem cells? Stephen Stills was just giving you sound advice. This mic is dark. I need this. I need you to do this. I was like, take some goddamn notes.
He wants you to put carpet up here so we can...
Fucking do it. He's Stephen Stills.
No, not because it's me, because it's sound advice.
Yeah, I understand. All right, but you do have to get right up on this microphone so we can hear your sexy voice.
Well,
yeah,
it's a podcast.
Oh yeah! Oh,
it reminds me of the rock and roll movie, you know. Where the band is Spinal Tap, where the band finally get a budget for a stage set, and they decide to come out of these pods, and they open only the bass player doesn't, so he can only play one note, and it's totally the wrong note. And then it flops open, and he staggers out and takes this, his John Travolta pose. Starts to play. One of the more hilarious of a movie that makes every rock and roll band in the world laugh from start to finish.
Yes, I know. It is fantastic. Oh, wait, can I give one degree of one degree of you and Rob Reiner separation? So we did a Resistance dinner party, so... In my living room was you, Moby, Rob Reiner, Lily Tomlin, Congressman Schiff, Congressman Lou. So then Stephen Stills gets up and starts playing For What It's Worth, and Nancy Pelosi walks in. Moby wrote me later, and he's like, "That was the most fucking amazing hour of my life."
Yeah, but we still lost.
No, this was after. This was after.
This wasn't that long ago. This was the hand holding. We'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we just...
Totally not true.
Just play a little. I have to set the scene because it was a little surreal. It was... your fucking anthem. Your, liberal anti-war anthem. Yeah. And you could tell all the super cool Hollywood people in the room were like, really cool. It's okay. It's Stephen Stills. It's like right in our faces in the living room. We're totally cool. And then Nancy Pelosi walks in and starts like clapping and singing.
It galvanized her.
Nancy Pelosi's like, "I've wanted to meet Stephen Stills my whole life." Stephen's like, "I've wanted to meet Nancy Pelosi my whole life." It was...
No, actually, we had met before.
Had you really? Okay, because you guys were both pretty fucking nerdy, I gotta say. Yeah. Hang on, because this is the part we all sang really badly, which Stephen loves, by the way. If you sing this really out of tune with him.
I just want the body that I had this back.
Oh, you have it.
No, I don't.
Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going round. So how did it feel to see all those celebrities sing it really out of tune with you? And you're like, be polite. Nancy Pelosi just walked in.
Actually, I didn't see her until she walked up, but she apparently I lit the fuse because she went my off.
Anyway, you were just I adore you. I am, as you know, just your political nerd friend. I am not a music person because I fucked up the. It's amazing we're still friends because you were a fan because you're a political nerd, and I'm a fan because I'm a carbon-based life form, and every fucking person is a fan of Stephen Stills. And so I was so excited when I met him. I was a little discombobulated. I was like, "Oh, I love Our House." And he just went, "That's fucking Graham Nash's song." And I was like, fuck.
I don't think the tone was quite that. Wow. I just said, "That's Graham's song."
Okay. I was like, wow. But yes.
It's not that irritating.
You are, not just a legend for music, but for liberal causes that, you've just been advocating for, starting with that song so strongly for so many years, right?
Well, duty as a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember that get it together is hippie for fall in.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about it, because let's start with that one, for what it's worth, for Buffalo Springs Field. So tell us what that era was like, because I was saying, you know, people our age, Travis and I have been saying on the show, we're like, we feel like this is our 60s now. This is our fucking, like...
We're in the revolt right now.
The resistance is our sort of protest, but what's the difference in your mind between what that felt like in the 60s and this?
Your Trumpenfuhrer, Habenzie. Twitter, Habenzie. But Funkin.
This is fucking worse, right?
This is crazy. I mean, Nixon, this makes Nixon look like a statesman.
Right. Right.
Could you imagine if Nixon had Twitter?
No, but they were saying if Nixon had Fox News, he might have gotten away with this. Like, I feel like every day we're going fucking crazy. But so when you wrote For What It's Worth, like, because I know you've talked about it, because I loved your latest protest song that you wrote, you know, but you were saying you feel like protest songs have to be organic. You can't, like, force them.
That's what I love about the women's marches. They're really organic.
Right.
Larry O'Brien was talking about the L.A. one, which was huge for L.A. Yeah. To get L.A. to do anything all at once is impossible.
Right. We went to fucking LAX, but we didn't have to for the Muslim.
Yeah. And he said back in the back, it was a total registration rally. They weren't paying any attention to who was talking. They were lining up to register.
Yep.
That's the way it's done. Although we don't have much to worry about in California.
Yeah.
Although there are some great seats up. DNS is retiring.
Yeah. You have to get closer to the microphone. I know you don't want sound advice from me, but I need to hear every syllable from your goddamn genius mouth, according to Neil Young. Neil Young says he's a genius. Richie Furay, the Buffalo Springfield bandmate, said you were the heart and soul of Buffalo Springfield. What?
I have hearing aids on.
I know.
And you're really loud.
You're overloading
in the earphones.
I'm sorry.
So that's why I'm getting back where it sounds rational.
Oh, okay. I'll back off. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, no.
No, just, I have my hair.
Everyone shout.
Listen, I'm joining
everybody
you.
Everybody's shouting.
I'm joining you in hearing loss because I've had radio headphones on for 35 years. So trust me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us.
All right. We'll modulate so we can hear each other.
And understand each other, and I will try to enunciate.
So, all right. After my first faux pas, in every great romantic comedy, there is a faux pas where I misnamed a song that was not yours. But I was telling you, I sent you a picture from, what's the place in Studio City, right, with all the albums on the wall? And I happened to sit down right next to Deja Vu, and I took a picture, and I'm like, texted Steven, like he's never seen it. I was like, look, it's my friend's album.
But that's what it's for. I mean, that's just... You know, it's no different than Disneyland and the mouse.
Right. What? Okay. But could we do, I don't know, any of them. Carry On, Southern Cross, Helplessly Hoping, co-wrote Wooden Ships. That album, obviously, just, you know, it's hard to, when you, there's an album that huge. I mean, there's got to be a lot of, just magic, right? Magic.
Well,
that many hits and selling that many albums.
That song comes from the 77 album, if I'm hearing it right. It's very big back in the background. But you keep getting, you know,
he knows
rags like Rolling Stone are constantly saying, oh, he's meaningless, and then you do another one, and then,
right,
you know, and then you say Buffalo Springsteen
Field,
which you did.
I did say that. I'm sorry. I swear to God, I've had a glass of wine,
which I thought was hilarious, and just let it go.
You let it go because I'm not like one of the music assholes that interviews you. I'm just your doofus political nerd friend.
No, see, but that's what I like about you, because the music people that interview me always find the one place in the conversation where I stuck my foot in it, and that's what they write. You know. Because I'm human, I will always stick my foot in it. Because I'm not, you know, the talent from a TV show. And so I will stick my foot in it somewhere.
Right.
And they're like, they've got this laser gun for.
Yeah.
What did you fuck up now? What did you fuck up now?
It's a gotcha. And this is really just kind of another extenuation of our love story, just recorded. By the way, you're looking very fetching. You were just telling us you're working with a trainer. How do you look so fantastic at your age?
Well, my hair didn't turn gray.
That's true.
And it's not, and this is not, does not come out of a bottle.
Yeah.
It's a genetic thing, but so are a couple of other things. So,
yeah.
Like going deaf and stuff. I don't know. I was a fat drunk in the 80s, and I didn't want to be that guy anymore. So all through the 90s and the aughts, it was a recovery process that took a long time.
I was so relieved that I had your bottled diet Coke. Because, you know, I'm not used to having rock stars here and the riders that go along with that. But I remember that you like Coca-Cola in the
original. It beats the hell
original
out of,
in the,
beats the hell out of tequila, which is not my friend.
Tequila is nobody's friend, Steve.
No.
So my other favorite song, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes. We just talked about, you just toured with Judy Collins, who, God, I love. I love her. And you had an affair, obviously, with her. You, not an affair.
Well, I'll bring her
relationship.
I'll bring her next time.
Oh, shit. Really? Okay, so Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, when you were with...
We just finished the tour of 52 cities.
I know. Okay, so am I a goon that I love both sides now?
It's no. Like,
I love that song so much. No, you understand. I sang it into my hairbrush when I was a kid. Like, I love her. Okay, so, and you, so did you, obviously.
Yes.
We've decided we like the same kind of women, so let's just...
Yeah, well, we dance around those questions a lot, but we're all, you know, she's much more better. She's more finely schooled than I am in how to tap dance around delicate questions.
Yeah.
But then she tells a great story about someone told me that there was this great poet from Canada.
That's weird. My ex is calling me. That's like the ex that came to see you. That we're talking about your ex, Judy. Okay.
I love having my stories.
Never mind. Go ahead, Steve. We got a private concert at his house one night, and we were like, wow, this is the best seat ever for a Crosby, Stills concert, because Steve was right fucking in front of us playing, and you played along to your new album, and it was one of the highlights of my lifetime.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
What else? It's the least I could do.
No, it's not. You didn't have to do it for me. Anyway, I'm sorry. So, sorry. Distracted by my ex. Your ex, Judy Collins. So, but how do you also, you obviously have remained friends with a lot of, and because there's a few of your songs that were to people you were with at the time. But yeah. How did that happen with Judy Collins? You're still friends? You're
I'm
touring?
I'm friends with all my ex.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's another... I grew up with two very strong-willed sisters, and there's something about, about just turn that button off. And Judy and I have remained friends all the time.
Yeah.
And we've had a wonderful time dancing around the subject on stage with our with sort of like a Smothers Brother or Who's Going to Be Gracie Allen Tonight. And she tells us a great story about being... being introduced or have been told about this fabulous poet from Canada named Leonard Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
And his poems are really obscure. And he came over to her house to find out. And she opened the door and she said, well, I don't really care if your poems or songs or not. Come in. Well, think of something. And he played her Suzanne.
Yeah.
That's a song I'll be recording it tomorrow.
Yeah. So, anyway, another amazing song. And also, I think it's really touching how you're still so close to Neil Young. He's doing the autism benefit with you, which you do every year, which is amazing. Light Up the Blues.
We've gone up a step or two. We're at the Dolby this
at the Dolby Theater. It's April
21st
here in Los
Angeles.
Don't bother,
it's completely sold out.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, never mind. I'm trying to help my friend. I'm like, really? You don't need to help your friend, Steven Stills. It's sold out.
It took 2 days.
Judy Collins, Neil Young, Jack Black hosts it every year. It's Burt Bacharach.
And Sheryl Crow.
And Sheryl Crow. Oh, I've heard of her, too.
Yeah. Little names.
Burt Bacharach never performs at his age, but you get people to do. But, I mean, I also was just going to say there's a through line between you being friends with all your exes like Judy Collins and then, you know, we've all heard all the bullshit about fighting with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and who's fighting with who. You're fucking Switzerland. You're always Switzerland. Neil Young always turns up for you for this.
That's the highest compliment I've been paid in eons. I love being Switzerland.
You're Switzerland. Come on.
I don't know how. I really, every one of those people took one phone call each.
Right.
And Bert heard about it.
I've told you this before,
but
you're. Who did? Bert Bacharach called you? Yeah. All right, listen. I've had this conversation with you before. You're fucking Stephen Stills. Just shut the fuck up. All right, listen.
Wow.
You're Stephen Stills. Anybody. I'm like, no, they were saying, would Allison Janney come? I'm like, yes, Allison Janney fucking loves you. Like, I remember I had a party and they just missed each other and I've never seen her so sad. She's like, Stephen Stills just left.
Well, could you believe that performance in
I, Tanya.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It made the movie for me. But my wife and her mother's a skating coach, and both of my sisters-in-law were skaters.
Oh, really?
I mean, competition skaters. And they're both really tall, so you can imagine, this isn't, these pictures.
Yeah.
Little girls on, with great big skates. This is like enormous swans of women flying through the air. But... But Alice and Janet just stole that movie. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
She just discovered she really got Trailer Park Boys. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So fantastic. And when they showed the real person at the end, you're like, oh, my God, it's just like her with the fucking bird on her shoulder. It was hilarious. But anyway, she loves you. I'm sure she'll do it. But I just love... I love this. I don't know who wrote this. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young could reunite because they hate Trump more than each other. Graham Nash has been very vocal in the last 2 years about his anger at David Crosby over a series of personal clashes, so much so that fans of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young had all given up hope of a reunion. However, Nash now says that even greater disdain for Trump could change that. I know, he really is a unifying factor. Here's how I feel about it. He said, I believe the issues that are keeping us apart pale in comparison to the good that we could do if we get out there and start talking about what's happening. So I'd totally be up for it, even though I'm not talking to David, and neither's Neil. But I think that we're smart people in the end, and we realize the good that we can do. Indeed, the group known for such politically provocative songs as Ohio, Kent State shootings, blah, blah, blah. Is he a unifying force like that?
No, I have Judy Collins for a partner. No, who needs this?
You're in the women's movement. You're in the Me Too. You're like, who fucking needs these guys?
It works better in the original female, but yeah.
Yeah.
But Judy is like, we don't talk stuff today. In fact, could we try this? Yes. Oh, that sucks.
Yes.
Never mind. Move on. And then, or not. Oh, that's really cool. Let's do that.
Right.
Let's develop that.
Right.
And it's like that. And
you're like, Me Too. What's next?
And we can plan something in about 5 minutes that agencies and managers can completely just. It's like big Donald Trump landing on it. They can blow it all up in the next three months, and you find out that every time, everything that you planned, which, it's been one of the smithereens, and all the drives are like 12 hours a piece between shows because somebody can't calculate bus hours to miles. Oh, that's easy. And Judy loves to fly. She's from that, stewardess generation.
Right.
And she knows how to, she can go to sleep. In 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right. Are you avoiding the question about a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young reunion?
Yes, because
what's happening?
I'm having a much more interesting time now.
All right. Anyway, but I do think that Trump is a weirdly. You look at the resistance. I marched with 600,000 of my closest friends this last Saturday in L.A. for Women's March. I feel like he is a weirdly unifying force in the sense that everybody fucking hates him.
Well, so was Hitler. So was Hitler.
Hold the calls, ladies and gentlemen. We have the first Hitler analogy of the Stephen Stills podcast. Yes, right? This is fucking terrifying.
Yes. And Melania took a really nice airplane to Palm Beach rather than go to Switzerland.
Yeah. So speaking of you, Switzerland, and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, I'm just going to go back to this for a minute. Mm-hmm. Because I know my friend, Graham Nash, brilliant, a little prickly. I remember my friend, who you're going to see later, our friends, that we were backstage at the Greek for Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and my friend was like, oh, how come there's no vegan food backstage? Because isn't Graham, is he vegan?
No.
No, I thought he was. Anyway, he's like, what? He just looked
at
her
and
he goes,
kidding?
He goes, well, I'm not in charge of the food now, am I? Anyway, I just love that story. But so you've had to be Switzerland in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. But so Neil Young, your fantastic, amazing wife, Kristen, there's a story where she said Neil came over to your house, and he's the one that said, Stephen, we got to do Light Up the Blues again.
Yeah.
Because he's not just a believer in you and talks about your genius all the time, but he's a believer in your cause. And talk about your cause. And obviously, your fantastic son, who I've met and been over there, has autism. Tell me about that. Because that's
he's a junior in college.
Oh. Wow, I'm old because he was a kid when I was there, Travis. I don't know. All right, he was a teenager, whatever.
He's old enough for you to date now.
Mac Davis has a wonderful song called Time Flies.
Yeah, I'll say. Wow.
Yeah. When 1 minute you're changing the diapers in the next one, don't you shut the college's helmet?
Wow, yeah. Well, if you're Stephen Stills and you're worried about it, then I'm fucked. But all right, go ahead.
You want to bet? It's like when you have seven of them, it's right.
Yeah. Oh, you have seven. That's right.
Seven children. But I'm so proud of Henry. And he's such a gent. And all the ladies fall in love with him.
Oh, well.
I just love him because he's such a gentleman.
Yeah, he's Henry, but he was diagnosed before his third birthday, right?
Well, as soon as he got the shot, you know, when they do them all together.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still suspicious of that bonding agent. But,
Not the vaccine necessarily, but the bonding agent that they use, yeah. Okay, but you're right, Kristen, who I love so much and is so beautiful, said Stephen and I wanted to give back to families that don't have the time and resources to make their kids' life a full-time job with lots of overtime. That's, I think, the soul of progressivism, you know, that, you know, because theirs is sort of like we have and fuck you if you don't have yours. Like, yours has always been we have and we want everyone to be able to have the resources we have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and for a lazy dog Floridian like me, it's hard. She has to kick me a lot. But once I get up ahead of steam, I can go pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. I don't even know where to. Listen, this is a lot of fucking work when you have a legend like Stephen Stills on. How do you even interview Stephen Stills? I'm doing a horrible job. My point is.
What are the holes in Trump's 1.8 million immigration deal that he denounced today?
Yeah.
His proffer, if you will.
Yeah.
And the whole budget. I could not stop watching the television. You know, Rachel Maddow is like the center of my day.
Oh, no, me too. Oh, me too.
And
we're in love with the same lesbian. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's true. Girl, it's just, when she goes into really cute, it's just devastating to me.
Well, debuted your new protest song on our show, and you talked about it, you know, after doing For What It's Worth, that this came organically for you. From watching cable news like we all do. And somebody said the greatest thing about, like, the Chiron should just say, fuck, 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 fuck. Just so, like, we're
well,
all thinking.
But you did that.
Right, but you did look each other in the eye, and it was your recommendation against Trump. I love that, your recommendation. You became inspired to write it just organically, right? Because you're like, Jesus Christ, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I mean, I've known Hillary Clinton a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's tough as nails. And
who's
it,
that?
Wait,
who? Hillary, yes.
Hillary is
yes.
tough as nails, and it took this to defeat her.
All of it.
Yeah, all
Russia,
of it.
WikiLeaks, media, the FBI.
Yes.
Mika, yeah.
Yes, all of it.
And you said a great thing back when you released Look Me in the Eye. You said, the truth of the matter is electing the first woman president, having her be a liberal Democrat is making a whole generation of guys like me go absolutely batshit crazy. I mean, she writes about that in her book, that you can't discount part of the sexism, right?
Well, no, yeah, it's like, but for me, an accomplishment like that for a woman, it just makes me stand a little straighter and make sure my tie is straight.
Yeah.
I have no problem with it, believe me.
Yeah.
Because like the button said, bitches get shit done.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, as I keep saying, if he thought Hillary was a bitch, wait till he meets karma, because that's coming. Trump Rush is coming, baby.
Yeah.
All right, I have so much to cover here. I just don't. Okay, so I didn't even actually realize a lot of this because I'm not a music nerd. I'm a political nerd. But after Buffalo Springfield broke up, you began working with David Crosby and Graham Nash on the debut album. So, and I didn't realize Neil Young was in Buffalo Springfield. I didn't realize how many interconnections you've had.
Well, he was actually, we met in Thunder Bay, Ontario, when I was with this little folk group that came, that was born of an off Broadway play that I was in, and we had the play closed in 2 days. And so, well, let's just get a little folk group and we'll go around the background. And we ended up getting like jobs. And we did this tour of these clubs through Canada that went, we started in Thunder Bay, then we went to Winnipeg and to Regina, and then down to Chicago to Mr. Kelly's. And that was a huge deal. And then I was out of there with jets to go to California right after that. But
yeah.
But Neil and I had been looking for each other. And Neil said, I'm going to Toronto. I said, well, I have to go to Chicago and do this thing. And then I'll catch you after. And we'll think of something. And I told him, you're going to need a sponsor to get into the States.
Right.
And so I went back to New York and got one for his little band. And I had the number for his mother. And I called her. She was a wonderful, she was a radio personality in Rass Radlin. And she, I said, where is Neil? And she said, I don't know. He moved into Yorkville and somewhere in Toronto, and he's living with this woman. And if you talk to him, tell him to call his mother. Click. Because he was only 19.
Right.
But I had gone back and gone to all the trouble to go down, get a club that would sponsor the Neil Young and the Squires to come down. And in the meantime, he got lost, broke up the band, and then came in illegally. So the bass player they brought with him, Bruce, who loved pot, kept getting busted and thrown out of the country. Right at critical times, like when I'm about to record the song that we evolved together.
Right.
And he's gone now. I miss him terribly. But Bruce Palmer was really the heart of Buffalo Springfield.
No, you're the heart and soul. That's what I'm told. Now, wait a minute. So wait, I have some weird memory that just came up from you mentioning Thunder Bay, Ontario. Not only do I have an ex from there, but I remember I started on the Yuck Yucks comedy circuit in Buffalo and Canada, all over Canada. And there was a comedy team that used to do a Neil Young impression, and all I remember of the song is they sang, hey, hey, my, my, they cut off my balls when I was 5. That's why I sing so goddamn high. That's all. It's like some Yuck Yucks memory from the fucking 80s.
That sounds like, there was a duo, a comedy duo.
That's them.
What was his name?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I just feel terrible. They did Buffalo Girl, weren't you coming out tonight? Our dear little Buffalo girl face. And they were hilarious. It starts with an E anyway.
Let's go back. Let's go way back. Wait, I didn't know you were born in Dallas, military family, moved around.
No. Stop. Dallas, we were there for
a minute.
My father had grandiose ideas about becoming Howard Hughes. So we went to Dallas because that's where all the oil money was. And he designed a competitive drill bit. Which, when we moved to Houston, got him in some trouble because his tool didn't want that. So something went afoul. Anyway, he would invent a business, and then this is where the congenital alcoholism comes in.
Oh, okay.
And then he would do something and blow it up, and then we'd move. So I ended up going to, like, 5 high schools. It was all because of my father's ability to get knocked down and then reinvent himself and then fall down again. I've been trying to avoid that myself.
So, all right.
That's
so. So when did music come in?
Well, he loved jazz, and it was in the house when, and my grandmother played piano in a Nickelodeon, you know,
yeah, 20s,
and in the silent movies. And so it's always been there. And my father had a great record collection. We have one of the first big Victrolas, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Stereos.
Yeah, we had one.
He had all, and that's when I discovered all those 78s of old, you know, on Bluebird and R. Hooley and stuff of Muddy Waters and, you know, people like that.
Yeah.
And older. And Robert Johnson and stuff.
Yeah.
Scratchy old 78s.
Yeah. Okay, so I, because I'm not a music person, I have to understand not just your genius, but you play everything. Like, you've not only been ranked number 28 in Rolling Stone's greatest guitar, 100 greatest guitarists of all time, you're the only person to, you're the first person to be inducted twice on the same night into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for your work on Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and also Buffalo Springs Field. But so what do they call? Oh, Rolling Stone called you Captain Many Hands.
No, David.
Because you play every instrument on Crosby, Stills, Nash first album. You played every fucking instrument.
David, and you say every word. David Crosby called me that.
Oh, okay. Well, but and how do you fucking do that?
I don't know. It's that thing of that you discover when you're about 5 or 6 or 7 that you can pick up anything and make music on it.
So music is the thing that's in your soul. The instrument doesn't matter.
And apparently it's rhythm because I had drumsticks. And my father bought me a set of drums in order to save the furniture. And quit doing that. It sounds great to me.
Okay, well, you're fucking deaf, dude. Like, come on. Just talk into the microphone.
When I get too close, it's buried in bottom end.
Okay, just pretend like we're just having phone sex like we normally do. See, doesn't that sound better?
Yeah.
Hi, Steven. What are you wearing? Yes. Are you wearing your tight guitar pants?
No.
See, Travis, that's how it usually goes. That's how we do. That's how we do a sound test.
Now
test.
I know how you book people.
Here's what I say when I call Steven. I go, "Testes, 1, 2, 3. Are you wearing your tight guitar pants? Okay, hi.
No, actually, after 70, my ass grew just enough to wear the tiny, skinny, you know. Those pants just got too tight. You know, where you bounce up and down.
No, you're fantastic. You're fantastic. No, you know what? I got to watch, because of you, I got to watch Crosby, Stills, Nash backstage at the Greek, remember? A couple years ago, and David Crosby's hair is flying up, and I got to see a great shot of your ass from behind, and you looked fucking fantastic.
Why, gosh.
Just saying. He did. I got to see from behind, Travis. You don't get to see that. But no, I got to see Crosby. I was like, wow. Wow. What's happening?
Did you learn some things about yourself that night?
Yes, I did learn some things.
See, this is how you do
it. I'm a giant loophole. I'm a lesbian. I'm not very good at it.
Well, see, everyone, I just want to point out to everyone that this is how it's done. It's fun. It doesn't have to be like groping and obnoxious and stuff
right.
like that.
What? Okay, so... First of all, just for the most of the lay people, what is it like to be a rock star? Because not just, you know, women throwing themselves at you constantly, but what is that like to have thousands of people cheering? What, just can you tell us what it feels like?
It's pretty seductive, but at the same time, it gets so intense that you discover later that you actually got a mild case of PTSD. PTSD.
PTS pussy. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Are you okay?
Post stress disorder.
Right.
Post traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
And it's not unlike, you know, I think Ringo might have mentioned it, but somebody talking about George said that's kind of where they were at. And I believe it. And I've had friends that were numb and
right.
That came home. I mean, I had a buddy that would hit the floor of, you know, sitting next to me if something backfired.
Yeah.
For the longest time. So there is a similar, and they like, they come at you and they want to touch you, and then they get close and they actually see, wow, ew.
Oh, that's.
And they're repelled and they run away. Or some diss artist that works for a critique, you know, gets a hold of some of the you know, sort of details of your life or something, and
right.
and that becomes it, and suddenly the songs are
right.
You know, I think I got to the surface and they sunk back below the surface when I realized that that you know, right. over the top celebrity is not for me.
Okay.
Elton can handle it. I cannot.
Okay, but you know, there's a lot of that, like, oh, rock stars and they're this and multiple marriages and blah, blah, blah. But I got to say, you are a hopeless romantic, not just in what I've seen with you and Kristen, your wife, who is gorgeous and amazing, but, you know, the love songs you've written, whether it's to Judy Collins or Joan Baez. But I feel like, you know, I remember Bruce Springsteen said something once, the thousands of fans cheering for you does not compare to the connection you have with that one person.
Hello.
And I feel like you must feel that because you couldn't have written the beautiful music you've written about the women that you've loved.
Yeah, but you can't try to be profound. It just sort of happens.
Right.
I like that statement from Bruce. That's very profound.
Right.
It very simply describes the whole situation.
Yeah. Well, okay. So let's talk about... all right. so you're... What is it like? Okay, your debut album, as I said, in addition to writing a lot of the album with Crosby, Stills, Nash, you played bass, guitar, keyboards on most of the album. Album won a Grammy for Best New Artist. Neil Young joined CSN months after, you know, you guys left Buffalo Springsfield. Your second concert at Woodstock. I can't imagine what that was like. Subsequent album, Deja Vu. Stills plays bass, guitar, keyboard on the title track, electric guitar, piano on Helpless.
I actually...
What was Woodstock like? Talk to us about that for a minute.
Well, more exciting than that at the time was when I opened... I discovered that I had, much to my surprise, to come in second to, like, Leroy Vinegar or Thelonious bass in the Playboy and Jazz All-Stars.
Right.
And that knocked me. And that pretty much, okay, you better get ready for it.
Right.
And so, when we were flying it, David Geffen didn't want us to do Woodstock. David and I decided that we were going, and said, "Well, we have to organize it." So, okay, we're at LaGuardia Airport. There's a bank of payphones down there. You take one end, I take the other. Open the Yellow Pages to Airplane, and find us two. Beechcraft.
Yeah.
We need one for the guys and one, you know, the Sky King plane, you know, the King Air. We need
right.
two King Airs to fly us up to the closest airport to Woodstock, and then hopefully they will have gotten something out of there with wheels to drive us in.
Right.
And we ended up going in on a helicopter.
Right.
And it was like, the facts that I happen to know, but not many other people until they thought about it later, but there were as many people, there were 500,000 people there, 450, you know. That's as many people as took part in D-Day.
Yeah.
And I got to look down and think, that's what it looked like.
Yeah, yeah. Incredible.
That's nuts. And then I just shut it off, and I stayed absolutely straight as an arrow all afternoon, because I knew I was going to get out there. It would be dark. You would sense this beast, but... And immediately, a very cold, the first cold wind of the rain that was coming
right.
came across and turned my guitar into, like, R minor. So in film, you see me going, we're getting to the point. And I'm no fun anymore. And I look out, and I know what's going on, but it's so subtle, most people don't notice it, which shocked me. Because I thought it was very, oh my God, his guitar's out of tune, he's trying to sing and tune at the same time. And I did.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much...
Shit, man. That's
that funny. And Timmy Harden's rant about the Japanese invasion with all the little trinkets. That's what I remember about Woodstock. Also, our gear got stuck somewhere. And so all the other bands on the stage, like the Airplane Moron, and they were all standing around to watch us because we had the big record that summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they all said, oh, here, use my amp. And we had a whole setup before our gear arrived.
Wow. Which is the spirit of Woodstock. All right. Hang on. I got to... okay. So, and then your first solo album after CSN, Stephen Stills Went Gold, is the only album to feature Jimi Hendrix and Eric Clapton. Obviously, the hit single Love the One You're With, number 14 on Billboard. I mean, right out of CSN Deja Vu.
But it was the spirit of the times. I was in London. I got to London when we first got to play, and I decided, oh, I'm not going back to L.A. And that creepy celebrity thing that happened where they follow you around. And because Britain deals rather more civilly with their eccentrics than did we. And so I'll stay here. Nobody knows me. I got the house in Surrey and stuff. And I ran into Eric, who had come to my house in Laurel Canyon with Crosby. And one time he said, would you come and play on this song? He said, certainly. Came over and he played, did one take. That was it. And then he had something in mind. He wanted to get the guy that records me to record him doing an acoustic song. So I gave him my converted OM45 to sing, and he did his first acoustic song, and we recorded it, and he loved it, and I gave him the guitar. And Jimmy came over, and we did one thing, and then we did a couple of other things, and we said, don't tell anybody, but when you get back, let's do something.
What a fucking life. Listen, so wait, except for the obvious, why are you such a fucking chick magnet? Judy Collins, Rita Coolidge, Joan Baez?
There was a lot of angst that went along with that.
So what do you think? Two artists together? No, not so much?
Sometimes it's too big for one house.
Too big. There has to be a flower and a gardener, right?
Yeah. I found that out with my first wife there, Anika Santana, who was she's like the Barbra Streisand of France.
Tell us some Barbra Streisand shit. What are you saying? Is she a diva? Is that what your point is?
No, I don't talk about my friends.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to snort. Okay, where did liberal politics start? Were your family liberal, or how did that develop?
Yeah, my grandfather was a Roosevelt general organizer. Right. I think before the turn of the last century, the Stills and College were Democrats, but the Civil War blew that up, and the Stills family he quit the Confederacy and moved to Illinois. And
can you talk? You need to talk to the microphone. I want to hear everything you need to say.
If you tried me one more time, I'm just going to stop talking.
All right. You know what? Go fuck yourself, Stephen. You know you were friends, and I will fuck you up. All right. All right. Go ahead.
It's an even match, ladies and gentlemen.
She can take it. She's scrappy.
So, wait. Can we talk about Dark Star? That's about your relationship with Joan Baez, right? No? The Crosby, Stills, Nash?
I actually swore that I would never tell.
Oh. Aren't you a gentleman?
Because precisely why.
Oh, all right. Here's a fun fact I didn't know. You did percussion on the Bee Gees' You Should Be Dancing.
Yes, it was a fun night. We were very drunk. And they're
speaking of voices higher than Neil Young.
Well, those guys were great. You know, we were sitting there and David and Greg were all carried away with how this album we were doing was just going to be the bomb and win Grammys and stuff. And I went across and listened to what they were doing for that movie, and I said, it's across the building. It's in the other studio. And they went, are you out of your mind? And I said, no, I'm not. And sure enough, you know, the next thing, they were the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And I just made friends with Barry, and Maurice I'd known from England, because he used, and I went over there, and they said, we'd love you and Joe Lala to come and could we borrow Lala for some percussion?
Yeah.
And I said, sure, I'll come play two ballets. And then we started that way, and then Lala literally passed out. And it never stopped. It's the only gold single that I have.
Yeah.
It's from RSO Records.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite moments with you is we went to watch the ponies.
Yeah,
at Santa Ana, you like to play the ponies at Santa Ana.
Yeah,
and there's a picture of you and me and a horse. That's I'm going to be in my, you know, funeral montage.
Well, we got to go to the barn after.
Right? That was my favorite. You and I got to go visit the horses after.
And I was surprised that Baffert was there over a year earlier. It seems that I've known him for quite a number of years. And it's running again. And as soon as I get finished with all this organizing of this benefit, I'm going to the track. I don't gamble that much. I go to watch the horses and see if I can go down to the paddock and spot the one that's going to come through.
Yeah, I understand. I've been there, done that with you. It has been one of the thrills of my lifetime, not just to know you, but to get to be friends with you. And to, I loved after that Resistance dinner party, you texted me, you're like, what's next? Let's go. It's 2018. That you're just... Since the fucking 60s, man. You're like in the game. You're in the resistance. You're in the... What's it called this time? All right, not the 60s. It's the resistance. Let's do this.
What's it called this time? Oh, my God.
It's called... Holy fuck, man.
Oh, fuck me.
Let's talk about... Can I just talk for a second to love the one you're with? You know, one of your biggest hits. And you always felt like that was misinterpreted. It was, you know, oh, it's about being a whore. What did you feel like Love the One You're With is
about? No, it was about being the only guy at the party that didn't know anybody. And being in London and sort of having this thing for a girl that had already told you, I don't think we work. And so, and you know, you got to get throw yourself out there in the game, you know.
Yeah.
You got to get out there and swim.
Can I just say, one of the other great things about being your friend is that the random parties I've had show up that people's faces, when they come in, they're like, oh, fuck, it's Stephen Stills. Because, how does that feel to you? How do you feel when people call you a genius and how do you react to how people react to you?
To be blunt, it's fucking weird. Being told about it because... All I know is that I was walking with Sharon Stone at some award show, and it was like there was a pit of vipers behind us going, it was hilarious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you must be used to that. Like, why are they whispering? Oh, I'm Stephen Stills. Okay. My friend, thank you for all you do. I would plug your... goddamn autism benefit, but it's already sold out because you're fucking Stephen Stills. But if there's any other way I can help you.
Because my friends all said yes.
Yes, your friends Neil Young and Sheryl Crow and Burt Bacharach and, you know, Travis, all our friends that we
you know, those people
just
you
call
with.
And well, just show
you
up.
You find out if you find out after this many years, you get surprised by who remembers well of you and who doesn't. And you don't remember the times that you said something really rude and this person looks at you and says, when I first met you, you were an asshole.
You're like, those were my fat drunk years. I don't remember.
Yeah, those were my drunk years. That's why it's been several years since I've had a drink.
You are a handsome, just hunk of a man. And I'm so proud of you, just as a human, not just as a friend, but you're just a genius. But all you do with your heart and soul for causes that we all believe so much in and that you give of yourself that you don't have to. I just love you so much. I do.
Likewise.
I do love you so much. All right, come on. Let's play out with some Stephen Stills music. Come on.
Wait, what do we want?
Huh?
What do you want?
Play us out. I love the one you're with.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Come on. I mean, there's only like a fucking 16 fucking thousand of the hits. Whatever you... Yeah. Yeah, turn it up. Because Stephen and I are both half deaf. Just turn it up. Oh, that's cool. Come on. Look at yourself, Stephen. That's fucking cool.
I can't understand anything except guitar noise and the drum.
Honey, love the one you're with. All right, I'll just sing it to him. All right, Stephen, happy hour.
That's Wembley Stadium in front of 125,000 people. They're there to see us, and everything was very fast that day.
Yeah,
very fast. Everything was counted off too fast and played too fast.
Wow.
And by the time we finished, then you would go, "Where's the fire?"
Still sounds pretty fucking good. Ready? A new whip. Yeah. Stephen Stills, the man, the myth, the legend. Love you, Stephen. Happy, happy hour.
Thank you.